recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, get it on, judgment, man, Dr. Drew. How are you doing over there, Drew? Yeah, man. All right, what you're about to hear is something that we played on the Adam Carolla Show a couple of weeks ago. I've been waiting for Dr. Drew to get down and really dig deep with him on this whole Kavanaugh hearing and
based on
Dr.
really,
Ford.
Yeah, and sort of using our Loveline experience as the prism through which we evaluate this thing.
Mm-hmm.
All the years of talking to kids and traumatized kids and, you know, the screwball behaviors.
Yeah, so without any further ado, let's give that a listen. Okay, so as discussed, a special Adam and Dr. Drew show where we get into the nuts and bolts of the whole Kavanaugh thing and Dr. Ford and beyond. I've been waiting to get into it with you because I feel like you're uniquely qualified to discuss this subject, and I feel like I'm uniquely qualified to discuss the subject as well.
Because we probably talked to Dr. Ford on Loveline 30 years ago.
Probably, or at least of her ilk.
You're right.
So, and I think my interpretation of the situation and the evaluation, my take on it is a little bit different than many people's take on it.
Tell us what condition her condition is in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Kenny Rogers song. Because I talked to Garrigus about it as well, and Garrigus disagreed with some of the stuff I was saying.
Oh, I was curious about that. Yeah. Can you want to start with that maybe, and we can sort of you and I straighten that out a little bit?
Well, I am not really bound by God or the law. I'm just sort of bound by common sense, decency, or what I would do or what I would blame people for doing or not doing, you know. So
let me for ACS listeners that maybe aren't Adam and Drew listeners, and I've articulated this about you on our show, which is that Adam has this like internal moral compass. It's a scale of justice, and it's like it's down to the micrograms. It's a perfect scale, and it operates outside of all other considerations. It's just a scale of justice. It's not interfered with by – I mean, some contextual things may come to bear on it, but it doesn't get interfered with.
Yes.
Yeah, so you'll just know the score. You'll
if somebody said he purged himself or perjuried himself or perjured himself by lying, I would say, well, what did they ask him? Well, they accused him of this, that, and the other, and I'd go, oh, well, if you're going to lie – if someone's going to lie about something they did in high school, then they can lie about it.
In other words, lying without justification is wrong, but you have a sense of what justification is okay.
Yeah, my sort of 10,000-foot view of the whole thing was that she did – something happened to Dr. Ford. A lot of it was the specifics, wearing my bathing suit under my clothes. I was wearing a one-piece bathing suit that I was using for diving under my clothes. That's not something you ever hear or would hear. Do you know what I'm saying?
If you were going to make something up, that's not something you'd make up.
We would always talk on Love Lines about the specifics and the specifics that didn't feed any narrative.
Right.
There wasn't really...
like something about the color of some curtain or how it was hanging or something. You just wouldn't be... if somebody were trying to fabricate something or even if it was a memory that was false, you wouldn't have those kinds of specific things in it if it was strictly false.
Right. Yeah. So I definitely... the part where she says, I'm wearing my one-piece swimsuit and I'm wearing it under my clothes and I went to diving practice and then I walked over to this house and I'm on the bed and he's on top of me and I can hear him laughing and the friends laughing and they're drunk and the friends jumping on the bed. I'm down with that. It's very specific.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
It also is the kind of screwball stuff that 16, 17-year-old boys do. It wasn't some outlying behavior.
Well, yes, this is a good point to talk about, which is the stuff that is labeled a sexual assault, a sexual attack was labeled screwball stuff
at that time.
Teenage guys did.
Especially at that time. And yes. And then the guy jumping on the bed, that's a screwball move. That's not a rapist move. That's a screwball move. He knocks everybody off the bed. It's like knocking bowling pins off. Drunk dude, 17.
Right. The thing that's funny is I met a friend of mine. I don't think they have a real clear view of the adolescent male mind.
They don't.
Our society basically is in denial.
Well, they were back then, especially too, because they were encouraging the males to behave in a way. Well, they were encouraging adult males to behave in a certain way, and not understanding that adolescent and young adult males would just pick it up the same.
Yeah, they don't have a clear understanding of the sexual nature mm-hmm. of the 17-year-old males, and they don't have an understanding of the consequences. Invincibility, the things we used to do mostly to one another.
Yeah.
And understand what guys do to other guys, what guys are capable of doing to girls, what they're capable of doing to themselves. I mean, they have no, we fear it and sort of ignore it in a weird way. It's an uncomfortable subject.
Yes. And I think you folded a few things into it. I mean, you lived in a world where the rough and tumble play went to crazy degrees, you know, you, Chris, and Ray in North Hollywood.
Draconian
rough and tumble play. It became literally flinging shit at each other, literally flinging feces at each other.
Well, literally.
Literally. And urinating on each other. And that's where it went. That's where the male adolescent goes.
But, I mean, the stuff we did to one another and others, I mean, we take guys – in the middle of the girls' softball field and strip them naked.
Yeah.
Strip them naked, and then they had to run around the schoolyard just naked, just like after, just literally pants under. It wasn't like, oh, here's a towel.
There was no physical punishment also, like hitting with wiffle bats or throwing footballs at them. Or
if you would like to be physically stripped during school hours on school grounds.
As was the custom, as you were normally asked, your friends were asking that.
There will be a certain amount of physical punishment involved with it because you're attempting to stop these people, and that's where the punishment begins. We routinely, by the way, all this stuff, you put it down on paper now, and it looks like not only expulsion, it looks like prison time.
When I think about Ray and his jacuzzi enemas and then what he would do with the products. It was directed towards women.
Well, or anybody. It was closest. But, look, here's the deal. At the school, one of the favorite things Ray would do, and others, you'd get pantsed. There was a thing called pantsing somebody. And so what happened is you'd be standing there during the summer and you're wearing your shorts and you're talking to the girls and it's during lunch and you just come up behind you and just pants down to the ankles yeah. and you're just sitting there with your dick hanging out. And there'd be two victims now. There'd be all the girls on the bench who were sitting there looking at your dick. And then there'd be the guy who exploded. There'd be a victim and the victimizer. And then there'd be a third the victimizer, which would be whoever pants them. But yep. That stuff was routine.
Every day.
As much as we could do it. And in terms of being like physically roughed up, the hardest I ever fought was when I was naked and Chris and Ray dragged me out of my garage. I was living in the garage at my house and it was right after school let out. And I live right next door to school. And so everyone was just pouring out onto my street. And I was completely naked. And those guys made it their business to get me nude and out into the street. And those guys were both bigger and stronger than me. And they didn't give it a half-hearted attempt and then, you know, sort of pitch it in and just said, forget it. No, they went hard.
It's coming.
And I went harder because I had no choice.
Yeah.
I, I, I fought.
I'm guessing you ended up in the street.
No, because I have. I am actually insanely strong at grappling. I'm a very strong grappler. Always have been. And even though these guys were specimens and extremely strong,
the crazy thing
it got me halfway down my driveway naked.
And the crazy thing about stuff like that is that in spite of the extreme violence that's required to grapple at this level, punch is never thrown.
No, not really. You don't need a punch.
I'm just saying. Yeah, you would never think of it. You never think of throwing a punch.
No, but there was – you'd get elbowed in the face and
accidentally,
stuff like that.
Accidentally.
Yeah, right. So we did a lot of that. That's all we did.
Yeah.
And the first time I ever met Donnie was going outside of a party – and we, Ray and Chris and some other guys, realized that somebody was in a car, like making out with their girlfriend or something. I don't think you even know this one. But
you bounce the car up until
maybe you do. I haven't told in a while. We got on the bumper. We started jumping up and down on the bumper. That's why I was thinking of Kavanaugh's buddy.
Listen,
I was picturing. Yeah. So this guy's in there trying to make time, and we're all on the bumper jumping up and down on the car, and that reminded me of him jumping on the bed.
I am telling you, it's why, because I do understand male adolescent behavior so acutely, and again, we dealt with it so many years at Loveline. It's why I started looking at primates, because if you want to understand young adolescent males, just look at young adolescent chimpanzees. Just look at them, watch them.
Okay,
it's the same stuff.
In the bathing suit, makes sense to me. Clothes over the bathing suit, makes sense to me. Went to the house. Guys had already been drinking beer, makes sense to me. Bedroom, jumping up and down on the bed.
Didn't quite understand the transition of the bedroom, what that was all about, how that happened, why that happened. That's a little unusual, but who knows, goofing around.
Mm-hmm. The part where they locked the door is kind of a little weird because it's like, but then you just took off. So, you know, I don't know if it's to keep people from coming in or to keep you from getting out.
From coming in. Of course, you can get out if the door's locked.
Well, no, I'm sorry for sounding stupid. I just mean you can unlock the door. I don't know if there's the lock on the door part feels a little.
They didn't want somebody coming in.
Right. But that is a part of the story that makes it. Now, some of this is how she felt.
Right. You know, let's say that so far was an accurate depiction. Put yourself as a 17-year-old male in that situation. What would you probably be planning to do? It's upstairs. Come into my sister's room. It's all open. What are the kinds of things that usually two adolescent male with a female peer, what are they kind of thinking about doing usually back then?
Well, hold on, because if you're alone, I think you have some contact and sex or something on your mind.
It's three.
If there's three, I think I don't know. Well, let's put it to you. I'll put it to you this way.
I think I know what the custom back then was. They're going to smoke pot.
Oh, you mean when somebody leaves?
When somebody leaves and goes into a room and locks the door and it's three and two and one or whatever, they're going to smoke pot. That's what they were doing back then, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so maybe that was the pretext and maybe she forgot that or whatever, or who the hell knows. But then certainly he wouldn't want to bring that up.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, let's go over here and smoke pot.
And it's Mark Judge, poly drug addict, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and maybe Mark Kavanaugh may not have been the one that was interested or whatever his name is. Kavanaugh wasn't the one interested in the pot. Maybe he was interested in her. Who knows? We don't know.
Poly drug addict, worst name of a private school ever. I would never send my kid to that school.
I'm pushing for that name.
All right. So now he's on top of her. I believe that. But I'm trying to picture the friend. See, to me, the part that takes the story a slightly different direction and always has is the friend. That I got.
Yeah.
The friend jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
See, that takes it out of the realm of attempted rape to me because there's screwball. Another guy in the room jumping up and down and screwing around.
I even heard Bill Maher say that. He was like, what? This guy's jumping on the bed. That's what screwballs do at 17.
Right. The covering of the mouth And I get why she's panicked by it and feels
maybe,
that way.
But maybe they were smoking pot or doing drugs or something. Like, quiet, don't tell me. I don't want anybody to hear I'm here. My sister's in the next room. Whatever. Who the hell knows?
No, it is a – I believe she was saying something, or she was alerting people, or she was doing whatever, and the cover of the mouth. But again, and then the hysterical laughter. Again, if you ever see kids going at it, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have that is she's screaming, she's being raped, and he's trying to stifle her.
I didn't interpret that way. No.
But now the friend's drunk. He's drunk. He jumps on the bed. They're goofing. I don't think there's some sort of rape mission because, look, guys are horny, and 17-year-old guys are horny, and 17-year-old guys want to take advantage of 15-year-old girls all the time, and they cross the line all the time. But the friend in the room jumping up and down is not usually part of the equation for that, right?
No, not at all.
So then she takes off.
Right.
She has been triggered.
Right.
They have not been triggered because they're taking an event and they're experiencing the event in probably two different ways.
Correct.
They're thinking of it as, we're drunk, we're fucking around, I'm fucking with my buddy. Maybe my buddy was trying
make out or something.
Trying to get with her, but I showed up and now I'm screwing with him. And we've all had sort of buddy versions of this, me jumping down on the bumper of the car, him jumping down on the bed. Then they fell off the bed, which sounds like they were drunk and sort of didn't care either, and she left. I don't think there was a ripping at her clothes while she went for the door kind of move. And then when she was triggered by this.
Right. Now, so that means?
That means in our Loveline experience that she'd been victimized
prior
or made to felt like a victim before this, prior to it.
Probably to be triggered by something like that, probably seriously like some sort of sexual abuse in childhood.
I don't know any of her backstory.
I don't either. But I'm just basing on the degrees to which she was triggered by an event like this.
Yes. So she was triggered and it seared into her memory.
Something. And again, when people are triggered that severely who have a history of sexual abuse, there are going to be lots of distortions. Even though everything she said makes sense, there could still be distortions of all kinds.
Well, we don't know. Here's what we know. Not about this, but I mean in life. My wife doesn't know what I said. She knows how what I said made her feel. She always knows how something made her feel, but she doesn't know all the events or all that was said. She relies on how she felt. Mm-hmm. She felt angry.
It's a kind of memory. It's an accurate kind of memory.
She felt threatened. She felt all the years we did Loveline, you'd bring up a band's name and I'd either go, oh, you know, you bring up the band Lit and I'd go, I don't remember any of those guys, but I remember them. I mean, good
being
guys,
nice,
good
yeah,
guys.
Never,
and you bring
good
up,
feeling. Yeah.
You bring up Chumbawamba, and I'd go, no, or Blur, or whatever. It wasn't anything specific, just good or bad.
Yeah. And so, then, by the way, that's the initial blush. Then sometimes you can also come up with some specifics.
Yeah.
Then we'd go, the anarchist, Chumbawamba. Oh, yeah, right. The air traffic control.
Chumbawamba. So she was triggered. I don't know, I'm not going to claim that I know whether she had prior sexual abuse. I will say that you're dealing with somebody
easily triggered
who had a very delicate wiring and was easily triggered.
Fair enough.
And so she was triggered.
Yeah.
And the boys, it didn't go down in their memory as anything because in their mind it was a fender bender where...
No, it was not even a fender bender.
Yeah. I'm going to be clear. I'm saying, in their mind, it was like they tapped the car in front of them and then just kept driving off. And the other person's mind was a head-on collision with a fiery wreck.
Yep.
So you don't... There were separate events and they went down accordingly.
Yep.
Now, when she left and has no memory of getting home, I believe that if she was triggered.
Yep.
If she was in fight or flight...
No matter what, it's not the relevant part that the memory is going to be revivifying, right? because when you get traumatized, your body literally becomes the source of reliving the memory over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like you're constantly in that state of trigger.
Right.
And the body remembers, and then there's certain degrees of screen memories that you have of the events.
All right. I'm going to bring this home in a moment. So far, we're pretty simpatico on this. But we'll wrap it up.
I want to know what Gergo's disagreed about.
I'll tell you. Right. First, I'll tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis world. Consumers, say you and the friends want to go in the room and burn a little tree, man. MedMen, you're an executive producer. You're a parent. You're a customer. That's what you are at MedMen. Or you're an executive. Doesn't matter. Something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis world or familiar with it. Flower, lotions, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff and incredibly knowledgeable puts you at ease. Check out one of the 14 retail locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego. Now open the new store on the Vegas Strip, Paradise and Harmon. Visit MedMen.com. That's MedMen.com. Find the store nearest you, right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach of children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen today.
So she's triggered. It's seared into her memory. These guys were drunk, and it just seems like one more screwball high school hijinks, to them.
Yeah.
And as I think back on my own life, I do have all these moments of these stories and these things, but I realize I've repeated the stories on air and in books and all that kind of stuff. And there's probably a whole shitload of other ones I have no memory of whatsoever.
Has to be 1,000.
And I'm sure there are people around me that were terrified or horrified when, and both feared for their life when this stuff was going down and it didn't count, didn't go down in my brain. So I believe her.
Yep.
I believe that she had a version or an exact version of this experience.
But I think that's an important point. It's one or the other. We can't tell which. But we can accept both. It's either an exact version or some version.
And I believe she felt in jeopardy.
Yep.
Now, where Mark Gergis disagreed with me is I said, well, I bet when this was put to Kavanaugh, he probably thought, as I would have thought back in those days, especially if he's had a few beers, he probably would have thought, I recall something like this, or it could have been something, it sounds like something I would have done.
Yes.
It sounds like, I've had that happen a million times where my wife or someone has said, you said this or that, and I said, I don't recall that, but it certainly sounds like me then.
Yeah.
Or when I was drunk, or whatever it was. Okay. So I believe he thought about that. I don't think it was something, he gave himself some plausible deniability, like he could go, he's not going to verbalize it, but he's going to, I don't remember that. And he probably
doesn't specifically. Doesn't specifically remember that.
Probably, no.
Probably doesn't.
But if you said to him, let's flip the script. If you don't remember anything about this, you're not going to Supreme Court. If you can piece together little bits and pieces of this, we'll put you on the Supreme Court. So, do you think he would have cobbled together some recollections?
I think he would have said exactly what you said. It's like, well, it sounds like something I might have done. I have no specific recollection, but the idea of,
you're not thinking about what I'm saying.
No,
closely
I do.
Enough.
I do. He might have actually had a memory then. And let me finish.
Maybe he would say he had a memory.
Let me preface that motivation does affect our ability to how we retrieve memories.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And so you're right. The thought experiment you're doing is accurate, I would say.
I would go as far as to say that if you said Judge Kavanaugh, we're going the other direction. If you can remember bits and pieces of this, then you will be brought on to the Supreme Court. He'd probably go, oh, yeah, and a couple beers. Where Tammy's house? Yeah, I remember some wet, but bathing suit or something. Or, right. Yeah, a couple little bits and pieces. Yeah, but Jackoff was jumping on the bed. We were just going, like, I bet you would coax that out of them. But
again, that's the way memory works.
And the way
you can implant memories in people by giving them right motivation.
The way Gergis works, and where we sort of differed, is I said, once Kavanaugh knew they were going back to high school yearbooks and hijinks from high school, or any whatever you want to label this, but if we're going to dip back into high school, then I get to just deny anything I want, because you went, this was supposed to be Marquis of Queensberry, and what you just did is you bitch slapped me while I was looking the other way. And if you're going to go there, then I get to fight back any way I want. And I think he decided, if you're going to go back to high school and have me try to describe something that I didn't know was something, and it'll never work, not in this society, not in this time, not in this climate, then there is no version. See, with all other accusations in life, you know what I mean? If I said, hey man, I was looking at my video monitor, neighbor, and I saw you came over and looked like you took a potted plant from my front yard. In any other scenario, in that scenario, I get to go, yeah, it looked like it needed some watering, and my wife's an arborist, and we're just going to nurse it back to health, and I was going to bring it back. And you go, well, that sounds pretty dicey to me. And I go, no, really, I was. She's an arborist. And you go, whatever. But in this arena, the answer is, I've never been on your property. I don't know what you're talking about. And you go, I remember seeing, I looked out the window. I saw you taking the pot. That wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. That's where we're at with the Me Too stuff and the whatever. There is no version where he goes, okay, now let me tell you my version of the story.
You said something stronger on our show.
Oh, what was it?
You said, if you were testifying to the Nazis, would you lie?
Yeah. Well, I don't like, no. What I'm saying is I don't like I don't like when people trot out the Nazis. What okay. I'm saying is if you're Great Escape trying to get into Switzerland or something and somebody pulled you over and put a flashlight and went over your paperwork was, you would gladly lie and gladly hand them this stuff willingly. And I believe the Kavanaugh had some idea about this event. I also believe that he knew exactly what was happening to him. They were going to put the scarlet letter on him and run him out of town. And he just said, well, if that's the choice, there's only an A and a B. There's nothing in between. There's no dimmer switch here. It's just, if you open your mouth and say, I was there, I remember that night, but I remember it in a different way, now you're gone. And he went, I was never there, and I know what she's talking about. Because that is the only option in this new world order we're living in. Mm. Yes?
I've been wrestling with that since you said it on A&E.
Then lied under oath, but not, you know, again, if you're going to go back 36 years, it's tough. And where Gergis and I disagreed is he said, well, then he shouldn't be a Supreme Court. You know, if you're going to lie under oath, and I just sort of stuck by if you think the other party is playing dirty pool and not by the rules and dipping back to high school, then you get to retaliate any way you want.
Or he wasn't there.
Or he wasn't there.
There's always that.
There is always that. My feeling, big picture, was whether if he wasn't there, then he wasn't there. If he was there, it was him and his drunken buddy playing some jack-off game, jumping on a bed and stuff like that.
Or some couple kids doing that, you know, whoever it was.
Well, let's say it was them, whatever. Yeah. Which we should not support or condone, no. But it doesn't make you a rapist.
Right, and back then, the behavior was highly reinforced, highly encouraged. It was considered the, you know, sort of, you would be...
Every song was about doing that. Yes. Forget about sitcoms. All right.
But him not being there, I just want to make one point, is that I just have grave concerns. Listen, as we've broken down, we believe Dr. Ford and what happened to her. But in a universe where accusation functions as fact, accusation equals fact, period, just look at history. please look at history. It goes back to Florence in the 1500s. It goes to the Second World War. It goes to Stalin. It goes to Salem, Massachusetts. It goes to McCarthy. There's times in history where accusations have been considered fact, and it has been a freaking catastrophe for society whenever that has happened. So we have to back away from that. We have to.
I agree.
And the way you do that is with process. And the process may be imperfect, and it may get it wrong. But you can't have purely accusation stand as fact. You can believe the people making the accusation, but the consequence of the accusation cannot have the same impact as fact in any sort of legal or social adjudication.
I agree, because it's the rudder that steers the ship of society, and we can't have it bust off.
That's it. We're done if the rule of law goes away, because that's what that is. And I feel horrible for people that were victimized, that can't find the evidence and would like to be – feel like they're not being believed, even though people go, no, honey, we believe you. It's just there's not enough evidence. That's got to be a horrible, horrible thing. But we have to accept a certain amount of that in order for us to have a civil society, in order for it to function.
Agreed. All right. Pretty thoughtful, huh, Drew?
I think so.
I think so as well. Another thing I think about is Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free.
They had Pluto back then. None of this stuff would have happened.
None of this could have ever happened if they just had Pluto TV. You're right. I'd be a happy man. I probably wouldn't be a comedian. I would be happy. Pluto TV, never ask for a credit card. You don't need to sign up, or you just watch it for free. That's it. That's all. That's the barrier to entry. Pluto TV is an easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV show and movies, shows and movies. Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. What are you waiting for? Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TV, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. And check out my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, the Chassis channel on Pluto TV, all free at 501 Pluto TV. Okay, this Saturday, October 27th, Phoenix, Arizona, two shows, stand-up live, doing basic cable commentary there. Friday, November 30th, Anaheim Grove with Rob Riggle. Say hi, we're doing a live pod there. Say hi to Lynette over at CorollaDrinks.com. And Drew, what do you got?
Dr. Drew.com. Check out the family of pods there. Also the Dr. Drew podcast, of course. And we have the opiate series. I'm putting it on audiobook. I'm also breaking it down into other little segments. And a narcissism series. I'll talk a little bit about that maybe tomorrow.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Yeah, Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 channels, thousands of movies on demand. Well, it's free. It's completely free. Normally when you hear on demand, you go, how much? No, not with Pluto TV. They never ask for a credit card. It's all legal. Just go log on and get it done. The time I'm doing this, you could have Pluto TV, download Pluto TV for free and do it on your Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, your phone, whatever. And check out Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, our channel, available now on Pluto TV. Stick around for the AP News.